Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Praise God. God is good and all the time. Let's try it one more time. God is good and all the time. And Pastor, all of his mercies, what? Endure forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn. Amen. I'm going to turn this off. Praise God. I'm glad to see you're all here tonight. Praise God. Thank you for coming. I got a short word for you. Short and sweet and to the point. God put on my heart a scripture, and it kind of led into some certain things that I could have preached on or taught on a couple weeks ago, but God didn't have it then. God has it for tonight. Amen? And let's just close our eyes and let's just lift up the Lord here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for a wonderful, powerful worship time, Father. We thank you for your presence being here, Lord. Father, we humble ourselves before you tonight. Father, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us in our spirit and in our hearts. And Father, the words and the things that you want us to know and you want us to change in our lives or you want us to be. Father, for we want to follow your will, not our own will, but your will, Lord. The Holy Spirit, guide us in that way. And thank you for this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take you to the book of Romans. And as you're going there, I want you to think about today. Think about your day today and think about our everyday choices that we make, right? If we ever think about our choices that we make day to day, then, let's think about why we dress the way we do. That's a choice that has to be made. Amen? What about why we talk the way we talk or why we act the way we act? That's a choice that we make, right? Yeah. Or why do we hang out with the people that we hang out with, right? The choices that we make. Why are we sitting in this room right now? It's a choice that we have to make. Before tonight is over, I believe that we need to ask ourselves and ask ourselves these three questions. Right? And I want you to write these down somewhere or remember them somewhere in your brain or in your notepad. Three questions. The first one is, who makes my choices? This is a question I struggled with for the past few weeks as I was searching God and talking to God about what to preach about, what to teach about. Who makes my choices? The second question is, how am I making my choices? And the third question is, why am I making those choices? These three questions, I think, to me were hard because I had to think deeply inside. And as if we read the Word, it asks us to really look inside of ourselves and see what it is we're doing. And these three questions, I really believe, make us into who we are. A lot of people will say, you know, your choices make you who you are. And a lot of that, I think, is true. But I also believe that God revealed something to us in His Word that says we can change those things. Amen? We can change those choices. So the choices that we made in the past no longer belong to us now because we became new. Amen? But I still believe the choices that we make still make us from that choice forward. Amen? And so we have to understand who makes my choices and how do we make our choices and why am I making those things? So the first question I'm going to ask, who makes your choices? Who or what pressures us to do what it is we do? Who pressures you into, or me, or whoever, us, into wearing what we wear? Right? Be careful. Who pressures us, or who influences us to talk like we talk? I think, I believe if we're honest with ourselves, and we look into ourselves, we would say that somewhat the culture around us or the area that we grew up really plays a big part in many of these choices. Would you say?
Yeah.
The culture around us influences us on what we say, what we wear, how we talk, what we think, right? How we act. And when I really mean the culture that we surround ourselves, and what I mean by that is the media that we surround ourselves with. Social media in today's world. Movie stars that we might look up to. Recording artists or music artists that we might like their music. We might try to emulate them. Right? Athletes. Where we live. The school we went to or go to. Or the friends that we hang out with. Books that we read, right? TV shows that we watch. Maybe even we do what we do because somebody put us in a social class and we think, oh, I'm this social class, so I have to be that way. Maybe it was our parents that made all the choices for you. Because what? They wanted to protect you, right? Because they knew what could happen. Or they thought that if they didn't protect you, you would become some kind of heathen, right? Some kind of crazy wild child. All of these things, who is making our choices, turns into then how we make our choices. Because of the influence that we have, or the influences that are on our lives, then what we see, we turn that into our brains, and then it comes out that that's what I should do. Am I right? This is correct. So if we see things that occur, and it might be our parents or people get a positive reaction from it, right? We see somebody do something, and they get a positive reaction to it, we think, oh, that's good for us to do. Yes? So if we make fun of somebody, somebody laughs, oh, making fun of people is good. Right? Or if we see, oh, movie stars are wearing this kind of stuff, and they're getting all this praise and all this money, maybe if I wear the same kind of stuff, I'll get all this money and all this praise. Or if I drive this car, then I'll get these kind of friends. Or if I'm mean to this person, or if I say this thing, or if I hang out with these people, I'll be this way, right? So all of those things that influence our choices actually do influence our actions. We can watch the news and get all scared about what's happening in the world, and that can influence us to become now lost from what the Word says and now too in tune to what the world says. Amen? I have a question for you, a little bit of question and answer. Let's take music, for example. How does music influence the choices that you make? How can music influence choices that you make? How can it? Not if it does, but how can it?
It affects our emotions.
Affects our emotions, which affects our actions. Can move our soul, which can then move our actions, right? And move what we do, right? That's good. Have you ever heard of the phrase, I know some of the young people in here might have heard of it, but YOLO. Ever heard of that before? No? All right. Or, I'm not trying to be mean, but an older phrase would be, you live like there's no tomorrow. Have you ever heard that before? Okay, kind of the same thing. YOLO means you only live once. Okay? YOLO. That's the new modern thing. You abbreviate everything and there you go, right? Okay? So if we actually live by what the world is talking about, you only live once, then what does that leave? What does that mean? It means that you live like there's no tomorrow. So that means today I'm supposed to do whatever I feel like doing. And that's okay. That's what the world says, right? But then all of a sudden, tomorrow comes, right? And then we have to deal with the choices that we made, right? So what happens then? So if we live that way, the world tells us to do, we spend all our money on things maybe we don't need, and then tomorrow comes and now we're like, I ain't got no money. Where'd all the money go? Or we could start doing drugs or drinking alcohol in abundance, right? And then tomorrow comes and we wake up and we have no recollection of what happened the day before. Right? Or we did something that we weren't supposed to. We maybe call into work sick, right? Or we skip school, or we skip our work totally. We sleep in from what we're supposed to be doing. What happens then? Well, if you're working a job and you totally just skip your job, what happens? You're fired, right? If you go to school and you skip your classes, what happens? You miss your work, miss your grades, right? You could fail. What happens then if you live like there's no tomorrow and I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Jesus. Those are some just examples of how culture can influence us. The idea of the word, the idea that the word gives us is to be aware. To be aware of what has influenced us and how to make our choices each and every day. If we read here in Romans, and I'm going to read the first two verses, I'm going to read them from the Message, because I really believe that this one from the Message really gives you a better idea of, I think, in modern terms of what it was really talking about. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, in the normal versions that you read, King James, New King James, I think most of us know that. But the way it puts it in the Message is just that much more, I don't know, I think the word cuts you like a knife, right? So it says this very simply. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, right? You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you and the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This scripture, I think, gives you an opportunity to look in the mirror and see what God really wants of you. Commitment. The choice to commit to Him and His ways. Not the choice to go with whatever people are telling you to do, but the choice to go with what God and what the Creator of all things has laid out for you so that you can be with Him for eternity. Amen? Praise God. His ways. Because we know that the Word says His ways are higher than our ways. And His plans are than our plans. Amen? Let's turn to Esther. Esther's in the Old Testament. If we remember Esther, the story of Esther, she was the queen, right, that was able to get the Jews from being slaughtered. I believe this scripture here is timely for us as Christians or as believers, as people who call themselves believers in Christ, not only because it allows the choice to be committed or the choice to not be committed. Right? We all know the story of Esther. Right? So it says here in verse 14. Oh, let's start with verse 13. So you all know that... chapter 4. I'm just going to start reading from chapter 13. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. Right? Because the order was to kill all the Jews in the land. So Mordecai says to her, you know, don't think just because you're queen that you're going to be okay. And verse 14 then says this, if you keep quiet in a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Who knows if you were saved or you're in a place for such a time as this? Who knows that if Esther knew that she was supposed to go to the king to try and get the Jews to be free, right? What if she chose not to? That paints a different picture now. But she had the choice, right? She could have not. And then Mordecai says, look, if you don't think that you're going to be set free. She had a choice to make. And I believe that sets a precedent here for us Christians today. We are here for such a time as this, to make a choice to approach people in such a way to get them to change their mind, to get them to understand that they can save themselves, that they can be transformed, as Romans 12:2 tells us. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are in such a place for such a time as this to be an Esther in the land. For such a time as this. How are we making our choices? What are we allowing to influence us to make our choices? And Esther, I believe, is just one example of many examples where somebody could have said, no, God, I'm not doing that. But they decided, as full believers in the Word and full believers in God, and they didn't have the New Testament yet. They didn't have Jesus yet. They didn't have the blood of Christ yet. They had God and the understanding of the will of God, and they still chose to believe God and act. And what a wonderful thing it is to act on the will of God. Amen? So today, we have all these people from the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the disciples, and Paul, and Timothy, and all these people that tell us the same things. We should be able to act and choose the will of God and what He's telling us to do for our lives and act upon it, because that's going to change the world. Esther changed the world that she lived in by acting on what God had asked her to do. God asks us to even do the smallest things. Go tell your family about me. Go tell somebody about me. Act like this at this party so that they can see what God's love is all about. God talks to us. We need to be able to listen and then change the world. Amen? We need to be able to make that choice to listen and let the Holy Spirit and let God renew our mind and renew our body so that we can be a living sacrifice to Him. Amen? I used to tell students about this YOLO thing, you only live once. That's right, you only live once to be right with God. You only live once to get right with God. You only live once to make it on the right path. They'd always come to me and say, Mr. Nelson, you only live once. We're going to go party tonight. Oh. You only live once to get right with God so you can make it to heaven for the rest of your life. Whoa. You only live once. The choices that we make have consequences. Amen? How many of us have made choices in our life? And the consequences were some positive, probably, and some negative. Not that all those choices necessarily were bad, evil, but they didn't work out properly, right? We have the choice to commit to a lifestyle of the will of God. Amen? We have the choice to commit to live with the Word of God. Amen? This choice leaves no room to be passive. Leaves no room to be... The Word of God, all over the place, says go. Go. Do. Be. Live. It leaves no place to be passive. God, in his greatness, identified the problem. The problem was that we're none of us are righteous. Not one. That's what his word says. Not one is righteous. And so then he offered his solution. His solution was God sent his son. Praise God. Praise God. To be the offering for sin. So God now recognized the problem, sent someone to change the problem, and now he's looking for us, in which he saved, to respond to that in which he sent. Right? Most of us, if we get a gift from somebody, we say thank you. Right? If we get a wonderful gift from somebody, we say thank you, give them a hug, we see them, right? That's the proper response. Yes? Well, God is looking for the proper response. And the proper response for his gift is to commit to him. Amen? So that's our choice. That's our choice. I think about it like this a little bit. If I give my kids a gift, not because they deserved it, right? But just because, right? Then that might respond in them, what? Be faithful, to be trustworthy, right, to me, right, to trust me, to understand the word, what's coming out of my mouth, to listen, right? If I give them a gift, they also have the choice to what? To not. Just like we with God. But if they choose not to be trusting me, they choose not to be faithful to me, am I going to really want to give them another gift? The option is there to give them another gift, right? And maybe I have it there, but they have to respond to me before I might. God asks us to respond to him. All through the word, it says, live holy and have these things. Trust in me and have these things. Well, if I don't trust in him, those things are still there. I just don't have them. That's a choice that I made. That's a choice that we make. And the choices that we make, if anybody has had kids or been around kids, the choices that we make, they start to do those choices that we made because they saw it. So if we make good choices and choose to live the life of Christ and choose to follow Christ, then guess what our children will learn to do? Live that way. Commit themselves that way. If we choose not to, they see that, right? They see that. That's why the word says, bring a child up in the ways of the Lord, and it will never what? Depart. Revelations. Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17, I'm going to read from the Message. The Message Bible, I don't know, it's just really speaking to me in the past few weeks, past month or so. I'm going to start from 15 to 17. He says, I know you inside and out and find little to my liking. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale, right? So in our choices, God is telling us here, be hot, be all for me, because if you're not all for me, then you're only half for me. And that's like being stale. The Message says this, far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale. You're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. You brag. I'm rich. I got this. I need nothing. Oblivious to in fact that you're pitiful, a blind beggar, a threadbare, and homeless. This is what the Message says. Being that is, you have to make a decision to be committed to God. That's what he's asking for your full-on commitment to him. He'd rather you be hot than halfway. He'd rather you be cold and just say, you know what, God, I don't need you, than to be halfway. Because halfway, you can't make up your mind. Halfway, you're serving two masters. And the word tells us about serving two masters. We can't. If we're the house of God and we try to serve two masters, that means the temple of the Lord is divided. And a house divided cannot stand. We have to commit. We have to make the choice to commit. And many of us have. Many of us may not have. To fully commit. Not caring about the cares of the world and really living the Romans 12:2 scripture. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it out of the normal version, the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, when you do that, when you transform yourself, when you stop thinking the world's way, when you start thinking God's way, then you will know God's will for your life. When you commit to transform your life, then you will know. It doesn't say when I think about it. It doesn't say when I talk about it. It says when you transform your life, when you choose to commit, then you will know God's will for your life, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision within ourselves. We have to make a decision. How do we do this? How do we not conform to the world around us? How do we not let what's on TV affect us? How do we not let what the radio says affect us, or the news channels, or the music that we're listening to affect us? I guess the simple way is to not listen to it. Right? Turn it off. Don't turn it on. Another way could be to just pay attention to what it is you're watching. Pay attention to the conversations. Pay attention to the shows you're watching. And to know, that's not good. We don't do that. You know, if it's something that you watch, pay attention and say, hey, you know what? That's something I need to erase from my mind. That's not good. Right? That's not good. That news, God says this. Right? Pay attention to those things. Pay attention to the things that are coming into you. Right? Because when we say what you take in, well, what? Come out. All right. That's one way, or two ways, The third way is maybe pay attention to the actions that you're doing. Right? Sometimes we get into groups. Well, I'm going to say this. Sometimes you look at people and one person is very intelligent, right? One person is very intelligent. Two people, maybe not so much. Three people, you start talking about things, maybe there's less intelligence going on there. You get a group of people all together, whew, intelligence might have went down the drain. We see that sometimes with those protests that go on, right? One person can peacefully protest. Two people, they're on the same page, they're peaceful, right? You get 10, 20, 40 people in the same place, butting heads, butting opinions, what happens? Woo, right? So pay attention to our actions. Pay attention to what we're doing. Read the Word. This is the last one. Read the Word. The Word will tell you what's good and what's not good. Amen? The Word will tell you. And the Word tells us, transform by the renewing of our mind. We have to have a conscious thought. Believers, we have to have a conscious thought to renew our mind. And that might be daily. The Word says daily. It's a struggle daily. So what do we do? We have to watch and understand, what am I feeding myself? Because when I'm feeding myself, if it's negative, negative will come out. If it's the Word, guess what comes out? The Word. If it's Fox News, guess what comes out? Fox News. If it's, you know, for me, if it's Alaskan Frontier or Olympics, whatever, then that's what comes out. You know, if I'm reading a book about something, that's what comes out. If I'm listening to certain music, that's what comes out. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind very simply means that, excuse me, if my mind is meant to take things in and then remember those things and then that's what I speak or that's how I act, then maybe I should transform what I'm putting in so that way it automatically transforms what I'm showing out. And so what do? We change. We have to change. And that's a hard thing to change. We have to change. That's very difficult because we like to be in our comfort zone. And so I'm going through this for the past month or 2 months. It's change. And I'll tell you, I've been like in a midlife crisis for like 6 months. I don't know what's going on. It's because I need to change. Right? I need to look at, reevaluate what I'm putting in. Reevaluate what I'm doing. How do I do that? The Word. It cleanses us. It takes out what's bad and puts in new and good. But that's a choice that we have to make. A choice to commit. If we choose not to commit, we're missing it. We're missing what God has for us. We have to check, what am I feeding myself? How am I engaged in what it is I'm doing? How far deep am I into that TV series? Am I wasting my time watching it all day long on Netflix? 16 hours of Star Wars. It's a long time for Star Wars. I'm guilty. Right? That 16 hours I missed out of walking with God. 16 hours I might have missed out of God talking to me about something very important in my life. We got to commit to God. But that requires transformation. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew. Last scripture. Matthew chapter 5. We have to make a decision, and when we make decisions, it doesn't stop there. We have to live our lives that way. Amen? We're believers, and how do people know we're believers? Revelation says we will overcome by the word of our testimony. That means we have to walk in it. Then people will know. If we don't walk in it loudly, nobody knows. We got to live our lives by this principle in all that we do, in every situation, every circumstance. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. I believe this is also in the message, but you can read it in whatever. It says, let me tell you why you're here. God, Jesus tells you why you're here. Let me tell you why you're here. We have that question. I had that question a few months ago. Why am I here? What the heck is going on? I stopped complaining. God said, go to Matthew 5, verse 13. Verse 12, 13. Message says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning. Salt seasoning that brings out God flavors of the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. God flavors. What does that mean? When somebody tastes you, you taste like God. If you lose your saltiness, then how will people taste godliness? Just like everything else, if it loses flavor, it ends up in the garbage. If we lose our godly flavor, God says this, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to give people a taste of God. Right? You're here to give people the taste of God. Because once they get a taste of God, they're going to want more. They're going to want more. Here's another way to put it, verse 14 through 16. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public. This is what the message says. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Jesus, the Word, God, all of this stuff is pushing us to make a commitment to God. And when we make a commitment to God, we become salt in the earth. We become light to the darkness. And we have to live in that so that people can see the light and people can taste the salt. Amen? The Bible, if we read it, is the Word of God. Amen? And it calls us to engage. It calls us to be committed to it, which then that means it calls you to engage in the culture around you. It's like oil and water. It doesn't mix. You're the oil. The world's the water. You can be in it and change it, right? It changes it. If we choose, believers, if we choose to read this whole word from Adam to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to Daniel, to Jesus, to the apostles, you will learn and you will be transformed to engage the people around you. To engage it, to redeem it, and to restore it. That's the word. Take Jesus, for example. He engaged the people around the area, right? He came as redemption, which then brought restoration. Jesus said that we have the same powers that he has, that we have the same job that he did. We can do the same things that, and more. So what did Jesus do? The bracelet, what would Jesus do? He would engage the people around him. He would engage the culture. He would go to the people. He wouldn't just go to church. He would go to the people as well, right? He would engage the people. He would call for redemption. He would talk about redemption. He would talk about how the people need to change their lives for the better. That he would offer that restoration. The people would change their lives and they would be restored. All through the Word. It's the same thing. God tells somebody to do something. Person does it. They're restored. They're redeemed. Changed. The Bible calls us to make a commitment to do those things. And as believers, I believe it's our duty as believers to follow the example of Christ and to follow all of the examples of faith that we talk about in Hebrews, to follow their lead. Amen? To follow their example. And by not following their example, we're not leaving a Hebrews for the later generations. We're not leaving an example for later generations. If we're not following just as they followed, then what example are we leaving for people that come after us? That's the question that I have to ask myself. What example are you leaving for your kids or for your grandchildren? Or for our cousins, right? Or for our nieces and nephews who are younger, what example are we leaving them with faith examples or with a committed life example? Because at the beginning we talked about these things that shape our choices. If we can understand to commit, then we can understand that people will see that commitment. We're the salt. They're gonna taste the salt of God, right? They're going to taste it. We're the light. They're going to see the light in the darkness. And they're going to have examples of faith. And they're going to have you as an example of faith to come to when they don't have any faith. And then we can show them how easy it is to have faith and just let go and submit to God and commit to God. And now they have faith because God responded to their response. Amen? That's how it works. We have to be an example so other people can see how good God is. So they can latch on to God and know how good God is. Amen? That's our call. We have to engage people where they're at, call for their redemption so that they can be restored by our Heavenly Father. That's our call. That's what I'm leaving you with. That's our call. Jesus said, look, this is what you're here for. The whole Word says it. Through Adam to Revelation, Genesis, it says the same thing. God is the salvation. God is our Redeemer. God is our restoration. You can name all of those names of God. And that's how He acts with us. That's who He is to us. And He asks us to be committed so He can be that to us. Amen? Let's make a commitment tonight to be that which we say we are in all things. In all things. We say we're believers. We say we're committed Christians. Let's be that. If I was an electrician, I wouldn't call myself a plumber. Because I'm not a plumber. If I was an electrician, I'd call myself an electrician. If I went to, let's just say I went to school, and I got the training, and I read books, and I did on-the-job training to be an electrician. After so long, I can call myself what? An electrician. So let's dig deep into our instruction manual so that we can really call ourselves believers, followers, Christians. Why? Because that's how people of this earth will taste God. That's how they will see God through us, through the believers. Amen? That's a call to be more than we are, to step up to what Jesus said. You have the opportunity and more than I have. You can do all these things and more. Let's be that to which Jesus said we are. Amen. Amen. And with that, I'm going to leave it to us to go out and do that which Jesus said we are to do. Amen. Amen. Let's just stand up real quick and go to the Word, go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this. I thank you for your Word, and I thank you for the correction for me, Father, and I thank you for correction that we take it. And Father, I just ask that the Holy Spirit stirs through the people here that who heard the Word. It was your Word from your book. And that it stirs our hearts and it stirs our body to be in action with family or whoever is outside that we come across, that we show God so that people can taste God and see God. Father God, I ask the Holy Spirit to change the hearts and minds of the people that heard this, and so that we can be all that which Jesus said we can be. This is what we're called to do, to be the light, to be the salt. And I thank you, Lord, for giving that to us, for redeeming us, and giving us the opportunity to be your soldiers. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as we go this week, Lord, keep the fire stirring inside. Keep the fire stirring inside. Keep the salt inside. Keep the salt so God, those people can taste it. Allow us to keep salty and to stay the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 And with that, thank you. Thank you. Have a great week. Be well. Be the salt. Be the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Have a great week. Amen. Amen.